Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. We thank you that you're good and you're good all the time. We just give you glory and we give you praise. Father, we just join hands with the person next to you. Father, we just lift up this coming election for this nation. Father, we thank you that you're raising up people that have ears to hear and eyes to see, that will carry out your heart's desire in this nation. And we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, the Word of God says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And so we just thank you, Father, for the fact that you raise up and you put down those that have a heart after you. Father, we thank you that men and women all over this nation that are running for office in this country, we ask that you raise them up. If they have a heart for you and a heart after you and they have ears to hear, and we just thank you for that, Father, because this nation will fulfill your heart's desire and you will accomplish the covenant that you established with your people that came over. And we just thank you for it. We'll not look to the right or to the left. We'll not be moved by what we see. We'll not be moved by what we hear all over this world. Because you declared, Lord, that in the last days that sin would abound. But the manifestation of your presence and your power would abound even more. So that it can't get so dark that you can't have victory. It can't get so dark that your presence won't overcome. And we just thank you for that, that we are people that hear your voice. We know your voice. When we walk in step with you, and we just thank you for the victory. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, Father, I declare over these people that they are blessed because you established it to be so. And all through your word, you declared, I have spoken it and it will come to pass. So therefore, we take ownership of the blessing, the seeds that were sown this morning, Father. We declare those seeds are 100-fold return, that it will be given to them good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because not only will they learn to step out in Holy Spirit ministry that will draw your substance to them, but you'll cause that seed to multiply, to be bread for them and seed for sowing. Because you've declared that to be so, and that's the way it is. And we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we started last week a new series on the kingdom of God. And go over, if you would, to Psalms chapter 145. Go back over there. The thing that I wanted you to see last week was we need to have you hear the world say you need a reality check. We need a reality check. Because we get so tied up walking in the natural. Because our natural man lives and moves and has its being in this place, but we need to understand that the kingdom of God is not something you're going to when you die, even though that's true. But that's just a part of the plan. How many know the kingdom of God, as we said last week, has always been and always will be? There's no beginning. You can't go back to the place where, okay, it started here. Because the kingdom of God, see, Father lives in the eternal realm. There's no time in the eternal realm. Do you understand that? There's no time in the eternal realm. And when he talks to us about things, Well, let's just read Psalm 145 before I get ahead of myself here, and I'll take you over there and show it to you. Psalm 145 says, I will extol you, O God, my King, and I will bless your name forever. On Sundays, I'll bless you. Is that what it says? No. My NASB, the Holy Spirit Authorized Version, says, every day, I'll bless you. And I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works to another. How many know the only way they can praise your works is if they see them? Okay, he didn't say one generation of Christians, did he? He's talking about regular human beings, the ones that breathe in and out, the ones you associate with all the days of your life. He said one generation will praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty. How many know they have to see those to do that? Right? And he goes on to say, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Beats the option, the alternative, right? Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. See, you see some things in these verses about what's connected with the kingdom of God. And we're going to show you some things today. Jesus said over in Matthew, and we're going to go there too, just to read it again. He said, the disciples asked him, hey, you know, teach us how to fellowship with God like you do. And he said, okay, well, first of all, your mindset has to be, Father, let your name be separated. Let your name be holy. Let your name be set apart. We have to have the mindset, Father, your name needs to be set apart. Your name needs to be set apart in Phoenix. Your name needs to be set apart in Scottsdale. Your name needs to be set apart in wherever you live. And that's a mindset. That's not a phrase you say. That's a mindset. Jesus had that mindset. Do you think that was just something new that he, when he came into the earth, he decided, well, let's do something a little bit different. Actually, it's a mindset that's all the way through your Bible. And we're going to show you some things today. Because, folks, when it comes to... Here's where we're going, folks. If we're going to be a people that bring the kingdom wherever we are, then we have to understand, what is the kingdom? What are the aspects of the kingdom that are important for us to understand? Who is our daddy? And what does the kingdom produce in the earth? Those are the things that we need to be mindful of. We have to understand those things. We have to not just have a theoretical understanding of those things. We have to have a personal involvement with those things, and we just expect that. So, let's just go to Matthew real quick, and I'll read what Jesus said over there. I just said it, but let me just read it to you. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is telling the disciples, those that were listening, in verse 7, he says, look, when it comes to praying, don't use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that when they will be heard for their many words. He says, so do not be like them, for your Father knows that you what you need even before you ask him. And then he said, pray like this. The word pray there is literally the word to fellowship with him face to face. So he's talking about a place of one-on-one when you're with him, when you're in his presence. He says, fellowship with him like this. It's a Greek word, prosuke. Pros means face to face, and suke means to speak. So we're talking about a situation where you're not praying out loud in public. You're not in a scenario where you're demanding or commanding things. This is in your own private time with Him, face to face. There's times to command and there's times to have intimate fellowship with Him. But you get what you command in public because you spend time with Him in the private and you know what to command. Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." What do you think He saw His Father doing anything? He spent time with Him on a daily basis. You know, just a note here. If there's one thing that really kind of irks me is the system has trained us. We don't need all that. Because it gives you this system and this structure, and then it gets you sidetracked and distracted on doing just what this guy, what Jesus said that the guys in the Gentile world and the nations around were doing. There's no connection. There's no reality. It's just, we're just saying words because we feel like if we say the right thing enough times that we'll get God to move. Right? And Jesus is saying it's not about that. You got to have a connection. So we need to understand, folks, when it comes to us being, let's say, effective at bringing the kingdom on the scene and wherever we're at, we've got to spend time with Daddy all the time. You say, "Well, I'm too busy." You're too busy not to. If you're too busy, you need to do more. Otherwise, you're going on straight off an autopilot, what's in your head and what's between your two ears, you know, and the world can do that. How many know everybody has a concept of God? Everybody has a concept of God, and they go by that concept of God. Some guys call Him the big guy in the sky. But it's just a concept. It's not really Him. I don't want to settle for having a concept of Jesus. Is Jesus a real person? Yes, He is. If He's a real person, then He really has a real identity and a real personality, and He really does think certain ways. So it's not acceptable to just settle for a concept of Him that you learned or that your mama told you or your cousin told you, your uncle so-and-so told you, and that's what you grew up with. You need to get to know Jesus directly. My prayer for my kids is not that they hook onto my God. They need to get to know Him straight directly. Because my concept of Him isn't going to save them. My concept of them is not going to get them out of situations. They have to have a connection. They got to know how to discern what He's saying to them at any given moment. And folks, let me just say this. You can't have a relationship with Jesus through some guy on TV. That's not enough. I didn't say there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that, but you can't settle that that's just the only connection that we have. Otherwise, we might as well just be Catholic and go to the Father and, you know, sit in the booth and, you know, confess all our deals and, you know, our only understanding of Father is through somebody else. He wants to have a fellowship with you directly. And Jesus said the beginning of that is to have the mindset that you desire to see Father's name set apart in the earth. And He says, pray then in this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a command, by the way. Set your name apart. How is He going to set His name apart? Cause your name to be set apart by the kingdom coming and your will being done. He causes His name to be set apart by the kingdom coming and His will receiving being done. So that's the place we start. And we talked about last week the fact that the kingdom's always here. It's always been here. There's never been a time it hasn't been here. If you read Old Testament writings, we'll get into a lot of them today, you find all over the place, they understood that His dominion was from eternity past, forever and ever. Okay, so we want to understand that there's a dominion that is that supersedes what you see with your eyes. People in the earth need to understand that there's a new sheriff in town. They don't have to put up with that stuff. But here's what I want to show you today. There are things that are connected to the kingdom. We read some of those things in Psalms 145, but there are things that are connected that are attributes of the kingdom, the government of the kingdom. And this is just what the kingdom, when it supersedes and replaces another dominion, this is just what it establishes. This is just what it does. But the reason it does that is because it's connected to Father's reputation. He has a reputation, right? Do you think he cares what people think of him? He does. So, you're over there in Matthew, right? Let me just show you this verse and then we'll move on. You can go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. We talked about last week the fact that the kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It always has been. But I want to show you something here. Jeremiah chapter 1. People have read these verses and they try to apply them to certain things, and that's fine, but Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse 5. It says, Father says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And then he goes on and he talks about, you know, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, this is Jeremiah speaking, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. And then he starts making a bunch of excuses and, you know, maybe it was just, not really excuses, but maybe just natural perspective. This is the scenario that I'm in. I don't know how to talk very good. I ain't got no good speech. I ain't got no good education. I need to get me some learning. Maybe there's somebody else you could use. I'm not a smart man. All these things Jeremiah was throwing up at God, and God said, he just told him, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I formed you, I knew you. Now, you know, notice what he says here in verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. And then in verse 8, he talks about, then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put words in your mouth. And then he goes on to say, what are those words for? Well, those words are to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build and to plant. Now here's what I want you to see. We said the kingdom of God has always been, right? It's never had a beginning, and it doesn't have an end, it's just always been. So where we live in the natural arena, in what we call the chronos, the chronology, the calendar, time clock, whatever you want to call it, that was injected in the parameters of eternity. But notice what he says here. See, we often read this and we say, well, before he formed you in the womb, he knew you and see. But everything he spoke after that. Now imagine this. He told Jeremiah, stop saying you're a youth. He said, I want you to know that I've seen your end from the beginning. And if I could say it like this just to help you grab it. I took that time machine into the future and I saw exactly every facet of your life from the time from this place forward until you're not on the planet anymore. I've seen everything that you accomplished. I've seen everything that you've done. And I'm here to tell you, this is who you are. So stop saying I'm a youth, because I've already seen you. And what I'm getting ready to tell you is to give you a glimpse of that person that you really are. How many think that's important?
Yes.
Do you realize that we have access to all of those things? That Father, everybody in this room, Father has already seen your end. So when the Spirit of God speaks things to you in the prophetic realm about your life, He's not trying to encourage you. He's telling you, this is who you are. I saw it. Do you get that? Go over to Daniel. I don't know if it'll read this way in your Bible, but I want to show you this verse. And I know this verse is interpreted certain ways. But I'm gonna interpret it from the standpoint of living a connected life, okay? Daniel chapter 12. How many know Daniel was connected with the Spirit of God? He showed him kingdoms, natural kingdoms, and he showed him the kingdom of Greece, the kingdom of Persia, the kingdom of the Babylonians. He showed him the Roman Empire. He got a whole lot of glimpses of things. But he also got a glimpse of the kingdom of God. All that stuff in the natural, but then he got shown what the kingdom of God looks like in the unseen. But notice what is said here. In chapter 12, look at now, let's just start in verse 5. It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on the other bank of the river." And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, we're going to revisit that, toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and a half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." He says, "Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand." How many know Daniel? Daniel got some insight into what was going to be happening from his time period forward. How many know you're connected to insight? Those who have insight will understand from the time and the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains for the 1335th day. But as for you, go your way to the end, then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion as the end of the age. Now, the verse I wanted you to see was what he said about Those who have insight will understand. Now, in one translation it says this, those who have insight will shine as the stars. How many know Joseph had insight? How many know Jacob had insight? How many know Noah had insight? How many know Daniel obviously had insight? The God of insight is in you. He's already been into your future and seen who you are. But guess what? Every time you get around somebody, he's already been in their future and seen who they are too. Maybe the thing that will be the difference between them staying locked into the natural and their perspective of who they are and who people said they are and their reality of life, the difference being our ability to bring the kingdom and communicate what's in them by the Father. You believe you can do that? Well, you ought to, because that's part of the kingdom. It's part of the kingdom. I know it hasn't really been emphasized in years gone by, but you know, if we're going to play church, let's just play church. But if we're going to get into reality and we're going to start understanding how to connect with people, we need to start expecting Father to talk to us about people that are around us. Because he's already been in their future, seen who they are, and there are things that he put in them that they don't know. They need somebody to point out that and say, hey, did you know that was in you? Sometimes when you say things by the Spirit of God about people and you draw that gift out of them, you touch something and they know that you're right. And they also know that the only person that would have known that was somebody that wasn't you. It was God himself. And it wakes them up. See, God has a reputation. The kingdom is supposed to be known for certain aspects and certain things. If you go over to, I said Ezekiel, right? Or if I didn't, I'm saying it right now. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. See, it wouldn't do us any good if we just talked about the kingdom and, you know, everybody had this mindset that the kingdom was someplace you go when you're gone off the planet. It wouldn't be as effective. But what I want you to understand is if we can get a kingdom reality when you're here still breathing and you understand what the kingdom is and what it brings and what it's known for, what its DNA is, then you'll understand what's not acceptable in the presence of the kingdom and the king. Ezekiel 36. He says in verse 22, I am about to act, but for my holy name. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. And then you go down to the latter part of 23, it says, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Now look at verse 26. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And then he says in verse 28, later on in verse 28, he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. Does any of these verses sound unfamiliar to you? But understand the reason why he's saying all this. He's saying all this because the intention of it is by giving you a new heart and giving you a connected spirit and putting his spirit in you, the very reason he's doing that is because he's about to show himself holy in our midst. That's why he wanted to do that. Because he wants to show out through us. So that all of the nations, as he puts it, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Notice it says in their sight, not in their conscience. So this is something that's supposed to be seen by their physical eyes. Okay, now go
to verse, I might as well go down there. Go to verse 33. He says, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places to be rebuilt, desolate land will be cultivated. Verse 35, they will say, this desolate land has become like the garden of what? Of Eden. And the waste and desolate ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Why is he saying all this? Because it's a result of giving them a new spirit that's connected to him, a new heart, and putting his spirit in them so that he can walk, move, and have his being among them. And so that the nations look at this people and say what we just read. Do you know that you have the ability wherever you go to either let it remain the same or bring the garden? That's what he said here. This is the very purpose why he gave us a new heart and a new spirit and put his spirit in us. It wasn't for us just to get together on Sundays and, you know, all feel good because we all kind of think the same and, you know, ain't we blessed and, you know, God is good and the world's going to hell. He put himself in us so that he can get himself out of us. I like what James says. James says, look, you got to understand that Father is zealous for his spirit that is in you. So we see some of the things that are supposed to be attributes of the kingdom. But let's go to the very next chapter. Ezekiel 37. Just pretend like that division is not there. In 36 verse 37, he says, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase. I mean, no, the attributes of the kingdom is increase. It's taking the desolate places and turning them around and making them a garden. It's taking the waste and desolate and ruined places and making them fortified and inhabited. This is what the kingdom does. He takes the wrong and makes it right. In Revelations, he said, I make all things new. If we run into people or we live in life and things aren't new, things are wrong, he makes them right. If things are broken, he makes them new. This is what the kingdom does. So in Psalms 37, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and let me down in the middle of the valley. I'm sorry, that's Ezekiel 37. Just kidding. You with me. And it was full of, he said, it was full of bones. Everybody say bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were dry. Verse 3. And the Lord said to me, Ezekiel says, and the Lord said to me, son of man, can these bones live? This is a good answer. I answered, you know. And notice what he says here, but I want you to get the context of this because we're still in the same context of a human being having a new spirit, a new heart with the spirit in them. He says, you know, and again the Lord said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. Now I want you to read these scriptures in the context, the same context of Jesus is, I mean, the Lord is saying to Ezekiel, this is what I want to do in a human being. I want to give them a new heart, I want to give them a reconnected spirit, and I want to put my spirit on the inside of them. So then he gives Ezekiel another picture to illustrate the exact same thing. He said, those bones represent dead people. I mean, there's a lot of walking dead. Not just because it's Halloween. He gives them a glimpse of human beings, but he shows them his bones. And he says, now watch what happens when I do what I told you. Watch what happens when you speak something from me and my spirit goes in them. Watch what happens. He says, I'll cause breath to enter you and you will come to life. And he says, I'll put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you so that you may come alive and you'll know that I am the Lord. Now look at verse 14. He says, I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. Imagine a people that lived in the earth, that wherever we were, we had access to insight and the word of the Lord. And when we spoke that insight and the word of the Lord, from the heart of Father, from the mind of Father, we actually saw take place in front of us what Ezekiel was shown in a picture. When you say the things that are Father's words, they contain life, they are life, they're pregnant with life, and when they get into a man, they begin to create life. Our challenge is we've been told by a system that you can't hear God, He doesn't talk to you, and He's sure not interested in you because you're just a dirty, rotten sinner. None of which is true. See, I'm trying to get us to a place that we have an expectation and we step out on that expectation. Because frankly, I'm kind of tired of what the system's produced. It no work. We got buildings full of people and those people don't talk to the other people that aren't in the buildings and they don't like to work with them. They're all praying, oh God, put me a place where there's all Christians. Because never the two will meet according to what the system has told them. Go over to let's see, where should we go? Go to Hosea chapter 2. I'm going to get all those unstuck pages. Those pages stuck together. There's nothing I love more than getting a brand new Bible that has nothing on it, getting a bunch of colored pencils, and just wreck the whole thing. Hosea chapter 2. I got it. You funny. Okay, Hosea chapter 2, look at verse 18. Hosea chapter 2, verse 18. In that day, they say that a lot in the Old Testament. In that day, I mean that day is out, is now. In that day, I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the creeping things of the ground, and I will abolish the bow and the sword and the war from the land, and will make them lie down in safety. I'll betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice. Remember what justice was from last week? Restoration. When the Lord talks about justice, He's talking about restoring things that belong to you. You know, when we're talking about, you know, especially you hear that, especially in election years, well, we have to have social justice. Let me tell you something, buddy. If you're disconnected from the Spirit of God, you're not getting it from Him to know how to deliver it by the Spirit of God, you're not bringing justice. You're bringing confusion and division. The only one qualified to bring true restoration is Daddy. So, you know, Hosea here in chapter 2, let's continue reading. He says in verse 19, "In loving kindness and in compassion, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord." Verse 23, "It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord, and I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, and the new wine, and to the oil." You notice that every time the kingdom gets involved, stuff gets restored. That's an attribute of the kingdom. It's an attribute of the kingdom because Daddy's name's on the line. You say, well, that's in the sweet by and by. Yeah, but we have the Holy Spirit who's the down payment of that. Why, you don't think He's going to bring that now? He's just giving you a picture of what the end's going to look like, but we don't wait to the end to see it. The Holy Spirit in us is a governor of the kingdom. He brings those things, and every time the kingdom flows out of us, it produces that. Right? Okay, go to... you can write these verses down. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verses 26 to 29, you can write that down. And then also write down Joel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now go over to Daniel again. I didn't read it, but if you read Ezekiel chapter 1, it was after Israel was already in captivity for some time. They were out of the land of Israel, and they were in Babylon. And Ezekiel was just kind of outside, and all of a sudden he had a vision. And he said, it was like, I saw the throne, and it was like crystal, and I saw a man. I wonder who that was. He said he was like, from his loins down, he was like fire, and it was from his loins up, he was like polished bronze. And he began to speak to him. And then you go over here to Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. Daniel says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and a vision in his mind. And then go down to verse 9. He said, and I kept looking, because he saw in this vision, he saw the nations, the Babylonian nation, the Persian nation, the Greek nation of Greece, the Roman Empire. He saw all these different nations and all these different kingdoms in specific animals that were in this vision. And then he says in verse 9, he says, and I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. And his throne was ablaze with flames. Sounds kind of like what Ezekiel described about the man, the Lord, standing there. He said his throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were burning fire, and a river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Now, if you read the context here, you'll find that the context is He's speaking about those that are against him. And Daniel described what was coming from the throne was fire. Verse 13, he says, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, there with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Everybody say a kingdom. How many know that kingdom has always been? And it says, glory and a kingdom, that all the people, the nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. The fascinating thing about this vision that Daniel had about the throne, he said that his throne was ablaze with flames, and he said there was a river of fire that was flowing and coming out from before him. The context is those that are standing against him. Now, hold your place here and go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Now this is John. Sees the same thing, but a little bit different. He says in verse 1 of 22, Revelation 22, he says, John said, then he showed me a river of water. He didn't see fire, he saw water. He said, he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal. That's what Ezekiel described. The thrones, like crystal. Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its streets, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit in most of the months. Is that what it says? Oh. Yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree went for the healing of the Christians. Is that what it says? No, it says the nations. I want you to notice something, that healing is always God's desire. Not 10 months out of the year, not 6 months out of the year, not only on the feast days, only on certain occasions. He says there was never a month that wasn't the fruit on these trees that was for the healing of the nations. In other words, what? The desire of the kingdom, the will of God that he desires to be done in earth as it is in heaven, is that people get healed all the time, every time. Can you see that? So John said that he saw the same throne that Ezekiel saw, or Daniel saw, and Ezekiel, but Daniel. Daniel saw flames, and he saw a river of life, water of life. Okay. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip a bunch. We'll get to it next week, but let me just show you this. Go to Isaiah 32. You ready for this? Wonder where that river flows. Isaiah 32, verse 1, says, behold, a king will reign righteously. Huh. Who's this king? Speaking of Jesus. Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes will rule justly. Who's the princes? Who? Us. Notice what the attribute of us is. Each will be like a refuge from the wind, and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded. The ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the hasty will discern the truth. And the tongue of the stammering will hasten to speak clearly. The tongue of the stammering will hasten to speak clearly. And I love the next verse. No longer will the fool be called noble. You want to turn the religious system up on its ear? and unveil them for the most ineffective thing ever. Start walking in the Spirit of God and walk in the flood. Walk in that flow that's flowing from the throne. It says it comes out of you. Each will be like a refuge from the wind, a shelter in the storm, like streams of water in a dry country. What is that a picture of? That's the picture of His people that He gave a new heart to, put a new spirit in, put His spirit in there, taking the desolate places and turning them into the Garden of Eden. It's the picture of those people walking in the kingdom that's in them and letting it come out. So the water that flows from the throne flows through you and out to people. And it says the end result is the eyes of those who will see will not be blind. In other words, what? We could say that's natural sight, but I believe it could be natural sight because that all falls into the healing of the nations from the tree of life. But I want you to see something else. The eyes of those who will see will not be blind speaks of seeing those bones receive the life of God because of something you said, and they get connected to the Spirit of God. Every human being out there, if they're not living connected, they're blind. We always talk about the blind will see. Yeah, that is talking about physical, because that's an attribute of the kingdom. But even more of a reality is the fact that if man is a spirit and he's living disconnected, and he's groping around in the dark trying to find his way to God, that these verses are talking about a people somewhere that we're going to come onto the earth, that we're going to have the Spirit of God in them, that they were going to bring the kingdom wherever they went, that they were going to have that insight that was talked about by Daniel, and they were going to be like stars that shone. And the best, they tried to describe this time period of these people that had the kingdom in them. And everywhere they went, they turned the desolate, barren places into places of streams of water and the Garden of Eden. And those that were groping around blind will all of a sudden, in an instant, not be blind. And those that usually made decisions from their own minds would discern the truth. Tongues would be loosed. What does that mean? They began to speak things by the Spirit of God, just like you. And then what was acceptable, the best that the natural system could produce in verse 5, all of a sudden just wasn't going to cut it. Because we brought the real thing. It's the real thing, baby. For the sake of time, I'll stop here. But we'll pick it up next week. But you're going to see over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament writings that this is what they saw. They didn't see a time period where people just gathered in a building, sang a few songs, sang some hymns, some hers, some oh me's, and then went to a cafeteria and ate lunch. That's where I came from. That's what church was for me. Never impacting anybody, never really knowing what you got. That's not what they saw. They saw something totally different. What they saw the book of Acts. They saw the first century church. They saw Peter said that they saw the resurrection of Jesus and then the glories that would follow, which were 50 days later, the birth of the church. You need to understand this, folks. That very much is you. That's who you are. And you have just as much ability to live a connected life to the kingdom and let the river flow as anybody you read about on these pages. Because He's been into your future and He's seen it. And He's telling you about it. That's who you are. I like what Greg said. He says, before you were ever in Adam, you were in Christ. Where else would you have been? There was no fall yet. Man's origins are in God. Us as new models, we ought to be demonstrating what that new model looks like. This is what you look like when you're in God. This is how you function. This is what comes out of you. This is what you hear. This is what you see. Because Daddy's already been into our future and he knows what we do. And he wants to wake that up. I look forward to the day when the church stops believing the lie that they're really no different than anybody else and starts to realize that you have the ability to speak by the Spirit of God into the lives of a human being and literally speak the very words of Creator of the universe to cause the bones that are in them to wake up. And they'll get such a picture of what they look like. Outside of what this damn system has done. And they'll run to Jesus. Because finally they met somebody that knows them. He's in you. And he has great and glorious things for us to do with him. And he's looked forward to this time before he went to the cross. He's talked about it all the time through the prophets. Can you imagine that every time he spoke to the prophets, he was so thrilled at what he was telling them because he'd already been there. He says, I know what's going to happen when I raise my son from the dead. I know what's going to happen 50 days later when I put the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and I activate and I put the same spirit in the rest of the body that's in the head. I know what's going to happen. And in the end days, I know what's going to happen, even though darkness is going to wax worse and worse and it's going to try to intimidate and bring terror in the earth. I know what's going to happen when my people just live in me and live in the kingdom and bring the kingdom and keep their eyes on the unseen and walk from that place and not what their eyes see or their ears hear. And they'll pay no attention to what's going on in the rest of the world, but they'll just keep in step with my spirit. And every time I say go right, they go right. When I say go left, they go left. And when I say this, they'll say it. And we'll start a revolution. Because I am the Lord and I give my glory to nobody else. Now what an honor and a privilege it is. You guys can stand up, I'm done. What an honor and a privilege it is to be a part of that. You have inside of you the very thing that will take a barren place and make it fruitful. You have inside of you the very words of the Creator of the universe to take somebody that's in desolation, that has been abused and destroyed by the system, and by fighting the urge to speak out of your own head, but to speak that which is in your spirit through the Spirit of God, you have the ability in you to wake up the gifts and callings that are in people. I'm telling you, folks, I look forward to the day when this church is full of folks that have tattoos and piercings. I don't care. I love that. That'll be the whole entire, that'll be our ministry teams. They go hit the streets, man. Look what the Lord has done. Can you imagine a bunch of folks that are tattooed and pierced, but they're led by the Spirit of God? Get a bunch of motorcycle guys. We go land at some saloon, and then, oh, watch what happens. I know God is fun. Amen. And he said in the Old Testament, he said, there's nothing, well, you didn't say like that, it's not from the South. He said, is there anything too difficult for me? And the answer is no. I love that. Jesus, we just love you. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for your life that's on the inside of us. We thank you and praise you for that kingdom that's on the inside of us. We thank you and praise you, Father, that you said that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us. And he quickens us to life. He shows us the ways of life. He shows us the path of life. He brings life to our physical bodies, drives out infirmity and infection and disease and sickness. Because the river's flowing. Jesus talked about it. It says that river will flow out of your innermost being. Rivers of living water. We're not like those people that Jeremiah spoke about that rejected the fountain of life. We know it's in us. And we look to you. Because you're where our hope comes from. And as the song says, you do give us a vision. And we refuse to be and to think of ourselves as those that just don't have it. Forgive us, Father, for believing a lie. And wake that up on the inside of us. To where we fully expect every place our soul goes. The soles of our feet go. Holy Spirit's talking. Holy Spirit's impressing. Holy Spirit's showing. And we're seeing. And we're hearing. And we're acting. Because that's what the kingdom does, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the supernatural increase of the kingdom around about us. The flow of your Spirit on the inside of us, out of us. And what you're marked for, what you're known for. The gifts of the Spirit. The signs and wonders that are known as what the kingdom is all about. We just thank you that they flow freely through us, unhindered and unchecked. I speak to every person in this room, if you're dealing with infirmities and sickness, challenges in your physical body, that infirmary, you have to bow your knee to the name of Jesus, and you have to bow your knee to the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for those stripes that are on Jesus' back. Cause your presence to well up on the inside and overflow and settle down upon these people. And that presence will drive out infirmity and infection and disease forever. And it'll never return. We thank you for that. Because your kingdom's come. In Jesus' name, all those agree with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.